Okay, so hello everyone, and welcome in to another special live episode of That's What Bea Said. I'm your host, Bree. You can find me on Twitter at Breezy Klee, and tonight I am joined by Meredith Kane at MCAN Sports on Twitter. Hello, Meredith.
Hello.
So we're kind of talking through what this episode is going to be based around this week, and we decided to keep it simple. Have you ever heard that term, KISS, keep it simple, stupid?
Yeah.
Yes. So a KISS show tonight, and it is debunking bad takes because, my goodness, there have been a lot of them.
I just feel like the better the Browns get, the worse the takes get.
It's a really hard pill to swallow, I think. So we are going to dive in because it has been rough and I want to talk about it. And then we are going to welcome back, I think, everyone's favorite segment of the show, which is Rival Reddit Boards. And listen, this is going to be a really fun segment to continue on as this season goes on.
Oh my God, it's only going to get better. Like,
I hope so.
I visit Reddit daily, and they're like, and it's not always sports. Like, sometimes it's just like random stupid stuff, but my goodness, that website is either a goldmine of content or it's a cesspool. Like, there's no in between.
Yes, I agree. Well, so for those of you that are joining with us live, make sure you guys are joining in on the chat. We're going to have hopefully a lot of good discussions tonight, some maybe debates we'll go back and forth on. But first, Meredith, I wanted to ask you, I know we missed last week. We were not together. I don't know if people know this, but I am a foster mom, and we have a little baby with us. She's been with us for about a month, and she was sick last week. There was no sleeping happening, and we had a little bit of a hospital stint, so we could not figure out how to get a show out there during the madness last week. So I am happy everyone is doing well, and we are on the mend, and I'm happy to be back.
Happy to be back. I missed you guys last week. I had to cover a soccer game last week, so I was indisposed. But yeah, Columbus
the crew. Yeah, I was watching them. They were playing on Sunday, right? As well. Yeah. I had them on for a little bit.
It was either Saturday or Sunday, but yeah. Did they win? I missed that game because I was...
I don't know. I got distracted with something.
Yeah, because I know leading up to that, they had lost four in a row, which was not great. And I think they lost Yossi's Artist last week. So It's... Yeah, the crew went from being MLS champions last year to almost bottom of the barrel. Like, they might be lucky if they make the postseason this year.
Which pains me.
Yeah.
Wild.
It is. It's crazy. And I could go into why that is, but this is... This is a Browns podcast, not a soccer. Well, technically, it is a sports podcast.
There you go. And the Haslams obviously have a big piece of that pie.
That is very true.
They are heavily
invested.
Say
it is not the Haslams. Like, the Haslams are not the reason the crew is not doing well. It's a mix of inconsistency because a lot of the guys have been called overseas. They've played in CONCACAF tournaments that disrupted their schedules. The Olympics disrupted their schedule. So, you know, there's just, I think the inconsistencies has been the biggest plague for the Columbus crew this year. So that's where it is. But anyway, let's talk about football. American football, not football.
Yes, not football. Hi, Adam. Yes. Yay for foster parents. I agree. All right. So we know that the Browns' first game against the Chiefs is just over 2 weeks away.
God, is it really that close?
Close, but like so far, right?
I know. It feels like it's never going to get here.
Feels like it's forever away. But so here's what I'm thinking. Okay. Feels like this time is going to potentially drag on a bit. Mm-hmm. And you know what this means, right? We are going to go through two very long weeks of bad takes. They're already happening. So tonight we're going to kick off this segment and this episode with debunking bad takes because it's not even bad takes from the national media. That, like, we're used to that, right? Like, we are used to bad takes from the national media that don't even watch Cleveland Browns football. However, we are getting plenty of bad takes from our own backyard, which happens to be a lot of fans.
Yeah, so, and I would say that the national takes on the Browns haven't really been that bad. I think that's the one thing.
I mean, you have the consistent ones, which is like Colin Coward. Yeah. Like, you know, he's been consistently bad. And like, that's not going to change. That's his bit.
Yeah. But also the thing about the national media is that they are incredibly unbiased. And I think for the longest time, Browns fans would always get really upset because the national media never had anything good to say about the Browns. But keep in mind, the Browns went like 1-15, then 0-16, yep. and then the Freddie Kitchens year. Like, they've had one, like, prior to 2020, they've had one good season since coming back in 1999. So while everyone thinks it's, you know, us against them, it's really just unbiased observers from an outsider's perspective. And I think now that the Browns have turned the page and they're getting better, their depth is so much better. They've got, you know, the leadership of Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry. The national conversation around the Browns has turned overwhelmingly positive. So
yes.
These bad takes aren't really coming from the national media that watch the entirety of the NFL day in, day out.
Yes. We could also just call this segment Reading Breeze Mentions.
Yes, I know. I'm so upset because one of the really bad takes was in my mentions and then the dude went private. Don't.
Yeah. Just own it. Like, we were talking about this before the show kicked off. Like, just own them. Like, it's fine. Like, you're not going to hit 100. Like, nobody bets 1,000, right?
No.
Like,
yeah. I mean, and I am more than happy. I am more than happy to admit my bad takes all day, because that's the thing, is that we admit that we're wrong, we grow up, and we move on. You know, yeah. That's called learning and growing. And
but also, we rarely have bad takes. So.
That's true.
We're
not too terrible here.
It's a special segment because I put on colored lip gloss. I had to prepare myself for this moment. It's very important. Okay, so Meredith, I want to bring this up, and this is going to probably not make a lot of sense at the beginning, but it's all going to wrap back around and we'll talk about it. So Trevor Lawrence today was named the starter for Jacksonville. I don't think this really came as a surprise to anyone that he was named the starter. You knew that he was going to start for that franchise the minute he was picked at number
one. Oh yeah. And I think it's hilarious that Urban Meyer was trying to be like, well, I don't know. Could be anyone. And I forget who I heard, but I was listening to somebody who was in Jacksonville and they were just like, I don't understand why Urban Meyer is doing this. Like, this isn't college football. He needs to stop acting like this is college football. Like, name your starter. Like, you're not hiding anything. You're not keeping any secrets. Like, you don't have an advantage if people think Gardner Minshew is going to start over Trevor Lawrence, even though everyone's smart enough to know that that's not going to happen. So it was just like, Urban Meyer, although I am proud of him for cutting Tim Tebow. I know that was a very hard moment for him. Like, yes. And not to you know, poop on Tim Tebow any more than I already have, but, you know, he didn't look good at tight end. That just wasn't the position for him. I mean, if he had started that position years ago when he first came out of college in, like, what, 2010 or something, it would have been different. But yeah, Urban Meyer made the tough choice.
Made the right
choice. Probably cried a little bit along the way. You know, gave Tim Tebow the it's not you, it's me speech.
They may reunite back in media next year. I don't know. Who knows?
I mean, I would be surprised if at this point, I wouldn't be surprised if Herb, like, hired him to be a part of the coaching staff in some way, shape, or form.
I mean, that makes more sense to me. I mean, well, who knows how it'll pan out. But
yeah,
we're not going to talk about Herb anymore, because what I want to get to is Trevor Lawrence played Monday night in a preseason game. And I have to admit, I didn't watch the game, but I did happen to catch the highlights and the narrative kind of surrounding what happened in the game. And in fact, Twitter was abuzz talking about Trevor Lawrence and how there's no talent around him. The offensive line is not set up for his success. I mean, the excuses are already flowing for this kid, and we are not even at the start of regular season. So I took to Twitter yesterday in the morning. I had meetings all day at work. So, you know, of course I tweet something and then I can't keep up with them. But in it, I didn't name any names. I talked about how our number one draft pick in 2018, Mr. Baker Mayfield, as we know him today, never was given this type of benefit of the doubt or treatment at the number one pick, right? He was the number one pick in the 2018 draft. And in fact, I would actually say he's gotten the opposite his entire career. And I do remember a lot of doubters before he even took his first snap. And that came from a lot of the local media here, you know, a lot of question marks. So I want to talk about this a little bit, and feel free to jump in the comment section. I know Browns fans are actually split between Baker Mayfield. And when I tell you, Meredith, I could not keep up with people tweeting at me yesterday. I'm not lying. I had to just stop reading things because it was so much. And the responses were split 50-50 from our own fan base. Now, of course, there were other fan bases jumping in, but some of the things I wanted to bring up and talk about that I think are really interesting. So on our show, we've had this conversation multiple times. We always talk about how people will continue to shift the goalposts when it comes to Baker Mayfield, right? Baker Mayfield, in my opinion, is never given credit for wins, but he is always blamed for losses. I don't understand how that makes any sense at all. So I didn't name names in this outside of Baker Mayfield. A lot of people were assuming that I was talking about his draft class. They assumed that I was talking about Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen being crowned and anointed. I was not, in fact. Like, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson won an MVP, right? He has earned all the recognition, all the praise in the world. He's an amazing quarterback. Josh Allen, I don't understand why he gets all of this.
Glory. There has been so much like excitement surrounding Josh Allen, and I get it. The Bills did well last year with him at the helm, but like he wasn't incredible out of the gate. Like he wasn't. And I don't know where all of this like Josh Allen love comes from. It never made sense to me because I feel like it comes out of the woodwork. But I do feel, and this is my theory on Baker Mayfield and why he doesn't get the same accolades, or he doesn't get the same pass that people like Trevor Lawrence do. I think for one, 2018 was such a heavy quarterback draft class.
Yep.
And that's really rare. Like you never have five quarterbacks coming out of the first round expecting to start when they get to their NFL teams. Like that is the amount of quarterbacks we had in the 2018 draft was so rare. And so I think that there was a lot of buzz around Cleveland thinking that the Browns are going to choose Sam Darnold. Like he was a big pick. I know like I was pushing for Josh Rosen. Now, like, again, bad takes that we can own up to. I was wrong about Josh Rosen. But yeah. And I think it's just because there were so many quarterbacks. I feel like people never really felt super like attached and connected to Baker Mayfield because he wasn't the clear number one coming out of 2018. Like okay. This past year, Trevor Lawrence was the clear number one. Everyone knew that he was going to go to Jacksonville. Whereas with Cleveland, they had their pick of the litter and they didn't know. And I think even up until Roger Goodell announced the pick, there were people who were still convinced that it was going to be Sam Darnold.
So I want to pause there for a minute because someone brought that up, that Baker Mayfield wasn't a definitive number one pick. And Trevor Lawrence was. So that's why Trevor Lawrence has been given this kind of treatment and they've already anointed him as the savior of the Jacksonville Jaguars. I also remember in 2018, nobody felt that there was a definitive number one pick for the Browns, just like you had mentioned. I don't disagree with that. However, he still ended up being the number one pick. And at this point, I don't really understand what that argument really means, because regardless of Baker Mayfield being picked number one and not necessarily being a definitive number one pick in that draft, he actually has an NFL regular season, multiple NFL regular season games behind him. And most recently, a 2020 winning season, winning record, playoff appearance, and a playoff win. So to me, check on 2018, like that argument to me is, that's null and void at this point. Like Trevor Lawrence is being anointed and he hasn't even played a regular season game. Like I don't care that he was the best college football player to come out into the draft last year. Doesn't mean he's going to actually be the next Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah. I completely agree with you. I think that that's where people are going. And then also Baker Mayfield had a really big personality.
Yeah, for sure.
You so know,
Trevor Lawrence, though.
Yeah, you know, although, I mean, but me, Trevor, like, so the 30, and these are the things these are things that I still, to this day, I swear, I think I saw someone bring this up on Twitter just this week. It was probably in your mentions somewhere, but they were bringing up the time that Baker Mayfield like ran from the cops. Like they're still talking about that time in college. Oh, yeah. Like people still talk about like the crotch grab and planting the flag in the middle. The
flag.
Yeah, at the horseshoe. Like there are all these things that people seem to like not be able to move past.
Yeah.
But if you listen. Yes. But here's the thing.
Everybody's making money.
I don't understand why people are so mad about the Baker Progressive commercials. Like Progressive wants to give him boatloads of money to endorse their product. Go for it. Like he was not able to legally make money off of his name, image, and likeness in college. And now he is. Like, I am never going to be mad at a person for making money off of a legitimate product. Like Progressive is good insurance. And Baker Mayfield is endorsing it, like, and he's getting paid. Like, I don't know, like, it's so funny because, like, in our society, people, it's like this weird dichotomy of people wanting to make money and putting a lot of importance on being rich and making money. But then the minute someone does something to make them money, they're a sellout. Make it make sense.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I feel like people are so hung up on, like, 2016, 2017, 2018, Baker Mayfield. But if you listen to the way he talks and listen to the way he acts and the way he carries himself and everything that he has done in the past 3 years, he has grown up so much. He has matured so much. He is great with the media. He is great with his teammates. He is a true leader on this team. And it's mind-boggling that, you know, the Browns make these press conferences available. Like anytime Baker Mayfield talks, you can find it. And so it's not like these are hidden words or people aren't able to witness him growing up and maturing. They can. It's right there. Like, it's all out in front of you. And so it's so strange to me that people are still clinging to this old version of Baker that, you know, I'm sorry, the old Baker can't come to the phone right now.
Yeah.
He's dead.
Yeah.
Sorry, that was Taylor Swift, but yeah.
No, I think unfortunately, Baker's 2019 season has overshadowed all of the good that he has done. And that to me is very unfortunate. And I understand that 2019 was, you know, a year of very heavy expectations for the Browns coming off of his rookie season where he actually did perform. He broke the rookie touchdown record, which Justin Herbert obviously took over. And that actually brings me to my next point, because Justin Herbert was another guy last year who feels like a lot of people are crowning already as being a top 10 quarterback. And in fact, there are actual lists out there from professionals that have ranked him ahead of Baker Mayfield with one NFL season under his belt with a 7-9 record. I mean, Baker Mayfield had a losing record his rookie season. He did not start every single game, but he still had a losing record. And he still was not given any type of treatment that way. So I don't know. This kind of goes back to what we talked about a few weeks ago. Like, is he good or is he tall? Like, because Baker Mayfield's not tall. And I feel like that is something that will always just be a negative in some people's minds, that they can't get over that.
And you want to know, again, what's funny when we talk about the cognitive dissonance that goes on around Baker Mayfield is that people like to call him short. But the reality is Baker's over 6 feet tall. Like, I think he's somewhere between 6 foot and 6'1". And I forget, I read this stat, it was probably on like a dating website or something, where like only 3% of the male population is over 6 feet tall. So Baker Mayfield's in the 3% of height. And it's so funny because I guess, who was it? It was John Dorsey, I guess, who had this thing for quarterbacks, like they couldn't be shorter than 6'3". So all of a sudden you've got Baker Mayfield, who's 2.5 inches below that at, you know, 6 foot and some change, close to 6'1". And that idea is like stuck in people's heads. They're like stuck in this John Dorsey mentality of quarterbacks have to be 6'3 or taller. And they think Baker Mayfield is not short. He's over 6 feet tall. Like, you know, are there quarterbacks that are taller than him? Yeah, sure. But like Kyler Murray is probably 5'7 on a good day. Like, you want to talk about a short quarterback? I don't care what his NFL combine stats. Like Kyler Murray is not 5'10. I don't care what the NFL combine says.
Oh, heck no.
No. So that's what I find so funny, that people look at Baker and they're like, oh, he's too short. Dude's over 6 foot. That's tall. Like, that's very tall for a man.
Yeah. So the last thing, well, kind of the last thing on this that I wanted to bring up.
This first bad take.
yeah, this first bad take, there's like multiple bad takes underneath the first bad take.
I know, we have like half a dozen bad takes.
So the other thing goes kind of with the moving, the shifting of the goalposts. So someone else brought up that he can only win against bad teams, right? That seems to be a narrative, that false narrative that continues to come up with Baker Mayfield, that he can only beat teams with losing records. What I find so interesting about that is he beat the Pittsburgh Steelers twice in a row, one of them being a playoff game. And it was like, up until that point, the Steelers were a good team until Baker Mayfield beat them. Then it was like, well, the Steelers weren't good.
Yeah, the team won 11 games in a row. And it's so funny because we kept saying that the Steelers were frauds.
Yes.
All season. And then we got murdered for that take. And then at the end of the year, when the Browns beat the Steelers, it's, oh, they weren't that good. And we're like, you mean what we've been saying all season? But yeah, the Steelers had a winning record. Baker beat them twice.
Yes.
So now
that narrative, though, is carrying on. And it's like, well, I'm not going to crown him anything until he beats the Ravens and he beats the Steelers and he wins an AFC North division title. Like, so now it's just like, well, Baker, I'm not going to crown him anything until he does X, Y, and Z. And it's just like, well, when is that ever going to stop? Like, when are you ever going to stop saying that he needs to do X, Y, and Z? And then when he does X, Y, and Z, then it's like, oh, well, I have to see that being done consistently.
Yeah. And then,
you know, it's like,
what's really annoying is that they don't say that about other quarterbacks. Like, they don't say, oh, we're not going to anoint Trevor Lawrence until we see X, Y, Z.
Exactly. They've already anointed him and he's played preseason games.
Yeah. He hasn't had a regular season NFL snap yet. And
so I have to give a shout out to the Hound of Horror on Twitter, because he responded, and this honestly was the perfect response. He said, it will only go away if Baker wins unanimous MVP, the Super Bowl MVP, with a bad front office, a bad head coach, a bad offensive coordinator, a bad DC, a bad special teams coordinator, and college rejects who couldn't make an Arena League practice squad roster in every position on the team. And it feels like that Baker Mayfield has to actually play with one arm and then play the second half on one leg. And then he can't have any players around him that actually deserve to be in an NFL team. He has to actually play with only women. And then he will actually prove himself if he can win that way.
Yeah. I mean, God forbid he has Nick Chubb in the backfield.
As if other good quarterbacks don't have talent surrounding them.
Yeah. Cause like, here's the thing.
Look at Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
Really good defense.
Tom Brady isn't making completions if his receivers can't catch.
Right.
Like Tom Brady is an elite quarterback. Absolutely. No question about it. He is a Hall of Famer, like future Hall of Famer. But if he doesn't have talent around him, he's not going to look as good as he does. Like, he's still going to look good because of his insane talent level, but Buccaneers aren't winning if Tom Brady doesn't have talent around him. You can't win a football game with just one person.
Yes. And I understand the quarterback is the most important position on the field. That is 100% true. But giving a quarterback talent around them is not and should not be a negative on a quarterback.
No.
It shouldn't.
No. Which is insane, because people will sit there and they'll love Odell Beckham Jr. and they love Nick Chubb and they'll talk about how great this offensive line is. But Baker doesn't deserve the best offensive line in the NFL. Baker Mayfield doesn't deserve an elite running back in Nick Chubb. Baker Mayfield doesn't deserve top tier wide receivers like Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham Jr. Like, God forbid he have talent around him.
Yes. Meanwhile, you have people with check marks screaming on the Twitterverse that Trevor Lawrence needs to be surrounded with more talent and an offensive line.
Right.
Duh. Duh. Like, that's what you do when you pick a quarterback at number one. That is what smart football teams do. That is what the Cleveland Browns did. And our own fan base wants to complain about it.
It is mind-boggling. And I said this to you before. I think I actually said this on Twitter. It's that I feel like people have made a losing football team their whole personality. And now that this team is no longer losing, they have no personality left. Like, they've got to find something to be miserable about. They have to find something to play victim about. Like, oh, my football team is so bad. Well, no, your football team is not bad. The Cleveland Browns are a very good football team. Oh, but my quarterback's not good. No, you have a very good quarterback on a very good football team. Like, sorry, losing can no longer be your whole personality now. Like, watch some football and touch some grass, you know?
Yeah. So to kind of play off of this, I did have a Steelers fan respond to this tweet because obviously this tweet made the rounds. Other fan bases were commenting on it. And he had the, and when you talk about a troll, like this is a troll, but I couldn't let this one go because it made me laugh. When I saw this, I quote tweeted it and I said, yikes on bikes. Which is, by the way, my new favorite saying. And I'm going to find a way to use that in my everyday language.
I love it.
Yikes on bikes. So this tweet has since been deleted, so you will no longer find it. But
so we have people going private. We've got people deleting tweets. Come on, people.
Own it.
Own up to your mistakes.
Okay, so Mr. Steelers guy said, Baker Mayfield isn't even the best quarterback in the AFC North. He goes on to list in his ranking order, Ben, Joe Burrow.
Who's been injured all last season.
Wait for it. Dwayne Haskins, Lamar. He did Lamar dirty too. Lamar.
Oh, yeah, right.
And then Baker. Yikes on bikes.
It's complete yikes on bikes. That is so biased. That is so biased. Like if Ben Roethlisberger was the best quarterback in the AFC North, he wouldn't have had to take a pay cut to stay with the team this year.
We're going to talk about Steelers because rival Reddit, Steelers.
Cannot wait.
We'll get there. Okay. Let's move on to some more bad takes. Starting players in the preseason. Meredith.
Oh my God.
This is something that is interesting because, you know, in previous seasons when there were four preseason games, you typically did see starters play at least a series.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, there's three preseason games this year. It's been a mixed bag in the NFL, right? You know, you have in some areas where there are starters playing. I mean, Saturday night, the Steelers played Ben Roethlisberger and their starters the entire first quarter. And then you have Kansas City. You have the Chiefs playing starters. And this one is interesting because obviously we play the Chiefs in our first game and they are playing their starters. Their starters are getting reps with each other. Right now, the Cleveland Browns have not played their starters.
Yeah, after what happened to Jacob Phillips this past week, so he has a torn bicep, he's out. Greedy Williams hurt again. I'm not quite sure what his return time frame was, but the fact that Greedy got hurt again is not great. All I care about is getting to September 12th with everybody healthy. I think there might be some advantage to maybe having the defense play together in a game scenario, but the reality is the Browns had joint practices with the Giants.
Yep.
So they were going against another team with different schemes in different colored jerseys. You know, it wasn't brown versus orange. It was brown and orange versus blue and white. So, and the starters did get practice in that capacity.
Yep.
I don't want to see the starters in the preseason. I don't want to see them at all because I'm so scared of them getting hurt. Cody Parkey got hurt.
I know. So do you want to talk about that? Because Cody Parkey, Chase McLaughlin were in a kicking battle, position battle.
Mm-hmm.
And perfect Parkey, which he was, by the way, in his final games, he was placed on IR earlier this week because of a quad injury, and he was ultimately let go and released from the team, which the Browns ended up doing that so that he could sign with another team when he got healthy again.
Yeah.
So classy move by the Browns, I will say.
Yeah, and Parkey is one of those guys where he's either on or he's not. Like, he was on when he was in Denver, and then he went cold, he got cut, and then he went to the Bears, where he became in the infamous double doink. Yeah, and then what was even worse was he got a doink in the preseason. Everyone's like, Cody doink Parkey, but it made it in. It doinked, but it still made it in. But
I think it's harder to hit the goalpost,
right?
Like, I think hitting a goalpost should actually be 4 points,
right?
Like, so, that's harder. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So he got cut, but before he injured himself, I tweeted something about perfect Parkey because, you know, hashtag for the brand.
You love him.
I do. Well, because he was so locked in last year, and I don't think people understand how rare that is to have a kicker that is so on point. Like, I was never nervous when they had to bring Cody Parkey out last year, like at all. And it showed. So, and this is the take that I wish hadn't gone private, because this was the really bad take that I wanted to bring up, is that this guy was asking me if I really wanted to roll with Parkey. And I was like, listen, he was extremely consistent last season. And that's what you want out of your kicker, consistency. That's all you want. Well, good consistency. You don't want him to be bad consistently. And then he said something to the effect of like, and then, I also said, you know, if Parkey goes cold, they have to cut him. There's no choice. Yeah. Like, I'm not going to get upset if he's missing field goals left and right. If he's missing extra kicks left and right, like you've got to cut him. Like, I'm not going to sit here and, you know, pound the table to keep him if he's not, you know, doing his job. And this guy comes back at me and he was like, well, hopefully we'll just have both of our kickers get hot at the same time. And then we can switch back and forth between the two of them or something like that.
Like, you're going to use two roster spots on a kicker.
Yeah. Like, no. Yeah, that's exactly it. Like, he was talking about both kickers being hot at the same time. So if one goes cold, you get the other one in or something. Like, these aren't goalies in hockey. Like, you can't just like pull your goalie off the bench and like, that's it. And like,
that's hilarious.
And also just the amount, there are so few good kickers in the NFL. Like, the Ravens have Justin Tucker and like, that's it. Like, can you name any other really good kicker in the NFL?
No.
Like, no, because
Phil Dawson back in the day, right?
Like, exactly.
He is notorious for being a kicker.
Yeah. Kickers get cut all the time.
Yes.
They go cold. They get
cut. But when you find a good one,
you keep them.
You tend to keep them.
Yeah. And kickers are on the waiver wire all the time. And I was just reading this take and I'm sitting there thinking, like, does this guy even watch football? To like, legitimately think that the Browns are not only going to have two hot kickers at the same time.
Yeah, no.
Like, no, that, like, we don't even have 32 hot kickers in the NFL, period. And secondly, the idea that the Browns would use two roster spots
right.
for kickers. Like, does this guy watch football or not? Like, because I, like, based off of these tweets, maybe this is why he went private. But I'm like, do you watch football? Do you?
I don't know. Listen, I thought that Cody Parkey's destiny was written for him when Chase McLaughlin hit that 49-yard field goal. I thought, like, if I'm Cody Parkey, I'm going to say I injured my quad too.
Although I would not be surprised if the Browns bring in another kicker at some point.
Just I'm sure.
Have that kicking competition. Yeah, because that's what you do.
Yeah.
You just, like, there are kickers on the waiver wire, like there are, you know, squirrels on the grass. Like, they're just everywhere. You just pick one up when you need them.
Like, exactly. And that's like, that's the position that we should honestly worry about and care the least about.
Yeah.
Who's going to make the roster? Like,
worry the most, care the least.
Yes. I mean, like, in the past, you know, we've just been ruined by really weird and things that happen to us that don't normally happen, you know, where it's like we'll miss an extra point in a game and then we go on to lose by one. You know, like,
yeah.
The Browns have been, us Browns as fans, have been burned so many times by our kickers outside of Phil Dawson.
Yeah.
And I think
Cody Parkey in 2020.
Yes. And I think that not having a solidified kicker, unfortunately for some people, I think is like cause for panic, because they think that extra points and field goals could be a deciding factor in a game. And that is very true. We've seen that happen time and time again. What I will say is I hope we are scoring way more points that it doesn't have to come down to a 3-point or 1-point game anymore. Like, I hope, I actually have that much faith in our offense that if a kicker misses an extra point, it's not going to matter this year.
Yeah. I mean, and I could see that being a worry, like during the playoffs, because the Browns and the Chiefs were very close last year.
Yep.
The Browns were a touchdown away. And I could also hopefully,
but also you go back to that and it's like, well, Hollywood Higgins, you know, at the goal line when he gets hit in the helmet, that wasn't like that obviously that could have been a touchdown right there. So I mean,
that would have swung the momentum in the Browns' favor. Yes. And it would be like the ending of last season would have been very, very different.
So many factors that, you know, there's just so many things that happen in a game. I don't know if you can ever just pinpoint like one.
Yeah. There's
one
never,
play, one kick, one extra point, you know?
Yeah, because here's the thing, is that even if they had made that call for Hollywood and that was a touchdown, there's a very real possibility that the Chiefs could have made like a fourth quarter rally, you know? So it's like, we could look at that and say, oh, but if, what if, like, what I've been watching that Marvel show pretty religiously. But yeah, we could always say what if, but you know, we could say like, well, what if that call on Hollywood happened? The result may have still been the same. It wouldn't have been, you know, 22-17, which is what I think the final score was. It, you know, it could be closer. It could have been, there could have been more points scored on either side, but it still could have ended with a Chiefs victory. So yeah, it's really, you can look at a singular point in a game and say, what if, but there's just so many things that happen throughout the entirety of the game that, you know. So
another position that has been an interesting topic of conversation for the Browns this preseason has been, do the Browns need to make a decision on keeping Case Keenum or keeping Kyle LaLetta? Because Kyle LaLetta in the game against Jacksonville performed very well. You know, I think this last game against, why am I blanking on who they played?
Giants.
This Sunday. Thank you. The Giants.
Listen, the preseason doesn't matter. It's okay.
You know, I think Case Keenum, you saw why we have Case Keenum on the team. Now he threw a horrible interception, but you know, I felt like I was reminded again why Case Keenum is Baker Mayfield's backup quarterback, because I feel like he can be trusted. And he's, I mean, he's getting paid a lot of money to be a backup quarterback.
Yeah. And the thing about Case Keenum is that he is so seasoned in this league that you can put him in literally any scheme and he is going to run that scheme successfully. Like he knows how to fit into a scheme that's already there. And that's what's going to happen. Like if God forbid something happens to Baker, or even if Kevin Stefanski says, you know what, Baker, like I'm going to rest you for this quarter because the team is either so far ahead or so far behind that I don't want to risk anything. Like Case Keenum knows how to fit into a system that is made for somebody else. You know, this system is made for Baker Mayfield, as it should be. And, you know, Case has the ability to slip in if he needs to. And that's what you want in your backup quarterback. But I legitimately heard someone say that, like, based on the way Kyle LaLetta was playing, that they should trade Case Keenum and keep. And I'm like, trade for what? Who's going to trade for Case Keenum? Who's going to trade? Who is making a trade? Again, do these people watch football? Yes or no? I don't know. Based on these takes, I don't think they do. Because, like, who's gonna trade for a backup quarterback? And while Kyle LaLetta has been good in the preseason, it is still the preseason. I think Jacksonville is going to be a lot worse than people are expecting this year. Because here's the thing. If you have the number one pick in the draft, it's because you were a bad football team.
Yes.
You know, that's just how it goes. So usually when teams get their number one draft pick as a quarterback, you know, they're not going to go to the Super Bowl right that year. Like it's very rare for an NFL team to have their number one pick be a quarterback, like have the number one pick their quarterback, and then all of a sudden all their problems are solved. You saw that with the Browns, you saw that with the Bills, even with the Ravens a little bit. Like it took some time and it took some building around those quarterbacks. I think that Jacksonville is going to be a lot worse than people like, because they know that Urban Meyer has a history of winning. Not in the NFL. Trevor Lawrence has a history of winning. Not in the NFL. Yep. So yeah, of course, Kyle LaLetta is going to look good against Jacksonville because I don't think they're going to be that great of a football team. And then same thing with the Giants. The Giants are not that great of a football team. And so that's just what you have to look at who they're playing against. You can't just look at, like, I feel like people look at the Browns in a vacuum sometimes.
Yeah. And also, and we're not going to keep three quarterbacks either on the roster. Yes. Like, there's no way that we're going to keep three quarterbacks either. So like this, Case Keenum to me, I like need to knock on something. Like Baker Mayfield, he's pretty sturdy, right? Like he's someone that he feels like he has a longevity. He doesn't seem injury prone. I mean, I think he's proven that he can play a little bit beat up. He did last year, but hopefully we don't have to use Case Keenum at all. Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be like Ryan Fitzpatrick.
It's an insurance policy.
Like Ryan Fitzpatrick comes in and plays, like he fills in after the starting quarterback either gets pulled, injured, whatever. Ryan Fitzpatrick comes in, plays an amazing rest of the game. His very next game, he plays amazing. And then after that, he like takes a dump. So,
listen, I'm fine seeing Case Keenum come in week 16 when the Browns are sitting their starters to go to the playoffs.
Yes.
So
yeah.
I'm good with that. I'm good with that.
I have but no problem
I'm going to knock on a lot of wood, you guys, because, you know, hopefully we don't have to see Case Keenum.
Yeah.
Until week 16.
And Kyle Laletta is not a better backup than Case Keenum is.
No, like, just, I mean, isn't it funny, though? Like, these are the conversations we're having because, like, this is the preseason games that we're watching. We're not actually watching preseason games to identify our starting quarterback. It's to identify who our backup is.
I know, which is really, it's a really nice conversation to have. But like I said, I hear these takes and I see these takes and I'm just like, do you watch football?
Although I do think, I do recall Ken Carmen kind of being on the Kyle Laletta bandwagon at first. I think he walked it back. He did. I think Ken did go back and say, like, I don't know what I was talking about.
Yeah, he probably, like, so he's probably,
I do
just
appreciate that about Ken.
Yeah,
that,
I think he was probably he was just really excited to see, like, a real football game. Yeah. I think he just got caught up in the hype, which, again, yeah, like you said, it's fine. That happens to the best of us. We were so starved for football for so long.
And Kyle Laletta looked good against the Jaguars. So,
which is like, and here's the thing. This is what is happening for the Browns in the preseason. It is their fringe players, like Kyle Laletta, putting really good film on tape. So then that way, when the Browns do cut him, other teams can look and say, well, this is what he did for the Browns. We don't have anybody better than that. Let's pick him up. Because I would not be surprised if Kyle Laletta gets picked up elsewhere, you know, as a backup quarterback based on the way he played for the Browns. Like, if Case Keenum wasn't here, then Laletta would be a perfectly fine backup for Baker. But we have Case. He is the better backup than Kyle Laletta is. But I have a feeling another team is going to pick him up. Like, once the Browns make their cuts down to 53, which I think is Labor Day weekend when that happens, I have a feeling that Laletta is going to get picked up off the waiver wire.
Yeah, as I feel.
As a backup.
A lot of our players will.
Yes. Another nice thing that the Browns don't have to worry about this year. Normally, the GM is, like, waiting for the waiver wire to go active, and they're, like, salivating to see what other teams are making,
getting,
like,
rid
what
of
their cuts are. Yeah. Like, yep. Who can we pick up this year? Yeah. This year, the Browns don't have to worry about it. They're going to be cutting a lot of really talented players, and that's because there are going to be even more talented players already on the team. So it's just, the Browns are in a great position, which is why, you know, don't worry if you don't see the starters in the preseason. Like, we don't want injuries. We don't want any, you know, we don't want Greedy Williams to get hurt even further. Like, our linebackers room is starting to look a little bit thin after losing Jacob Phillips. So, like, let's use this last game against the Falcons to let the fringe players get all of their tape out in the world so they have an NFL job come week one. Let the starter sit and stay healthy.
Yeah. All right. So we have our final debunking bad take, and then we will move on to Rival Reddit. So guys, make sure we stick around to the end of the show, because Rival Reddit is, I think it's becoming a favorite segment. So
it's a favorite segment of mine.
Yeah, me too. Sure. You guys don't want to miss this one either, because it's good time. Good time on Steelers boards, you guys. You're going to really enjoy this one. Okay, so finally, Meredith, you put this one in here, and I have I need clarity on this.
So I have seen, and I think this comes from, this stems from the fact that people look at the Browns in a vacuum, and they don't exist in a vacuum.
Hello, that's me.
I think we need to pump the brakes on calling the Browns elite for now.
Never.
The Browns have elite players on the team. I would call Nick Chubb elite. I would call Myles Garrett elite. If we get the OBJ from when he first started, like his first 3 years in New York, OBJ is elite. I think that looking at everybody else on the team and saying that Denzel Ward is elite, or, you know, anything like that, I think that that's a little too hyped up and a little too overexcited. I think we need to pump the brakes. Now, if the Browns if they continue to make the playoffs and win consistently in the playoffs, if they make the Super Bowl, even if they don't win the Super Bowl, if they just make it to the game, then I'm ready to call them elite. But I think it's going to be at least another season or two before I'm ready to say that they're elite. But I see a lot of, you know,
elitists.
Yeah. I see a lot of that on the Twitter vines of people calling certain players elite, where if you're looking at the Browns in a vacuum, sure, I don't. Jim just said Kareem is elite.
I agree with that.
Really?
I do.
I don't know if I agree with that, because I think because the Browns offense, when Nick Chubb was not
starting
in the
running
game,
back on any other team,
he would be the number one running back on any other team for sure. The only reason he's not number one on the Browns is because
you
Nick
have
Chubb.
An elite running back.
Yeah, I just. Two. Yeah, I don't know that I would. Kareem is very good. He's definitely one of the best running backs in the NFL, but calling him as elite, I'm not ready to do that yet. And it's not me trying to be negative on the Browns, because you know me and like our whole spiel, like our spiel, whatever, both of it. it's positivity for this team, which we did the best we could, you know, during the Freddie Kitchens era. We were still doing, you know, we had started this podcast at that point and trying to be positive on the Browns. The Browns are a very good football team, and they are on the path to being an elite football team. I don't think they're there yet. I think they need a few more winning seasons and a few more playoff wins under their belt before I'm ready to take that.
As long as you don't move the goalposts, as long as the goalposts don't shift, where you're like, now I need to see X, Y, and Z happen. Fine. I'm fine to work our way up towards elitism. I agree with you. I think there are some players on the team that are already elite. And I like that Jay Scott in the comments, he put the definition of elite on here.
Thank you.
We love definitions on this show. So let's
hashtag well, actually.
Yes. So elite, to define this for the listeners, a select group that is superior in terms of ability or qualities to the rest of a group or society. Yes, very well. I think who you identified is elite. I mean, it's obviously a little bit subjective too.
Yeah.
Depending on how you look at it. But I think we have a lot of players that are that have the potential to become elite this season. And together, yes. I think then the Browns become elite. Now, can I throw something back at you?
Sure.
Putting you on the spot because this was not in the rundown.
Uh-oh.
Is Andrew Berry elite? Is he an elite GM? Can you crown him yet?
I am very, very close to it, because if you look at what he had two off seasons to work with.
Yep.
And the very first off season, he beefed up the Browns offensive line and it became Pro Football Focus, one of their top offensive lines in the NFL. He picked up Wyatt Teller, who was not on anybody's radar except for mine, because, you know, Hokies. But Wyatt Teller, outside of the Virginia Tech fandom.
That was JD. That was Dorsey.
Oh, was that Dorsey? Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Well, so, no, I will say I don't think that regime utilized Wyatt Teller the way that Andrew Berry did.
So, yeah. So his first offseason, he beefs up his offensive line. And now the Browns have one of the best offensive lines in the NFL. This past offseason, he beefed up the defense.
Yep.
And on paper, the Browns definitely have the defense this year is leaps and bounds above. But again, I want to see how this team plays this year. I think if the Browns make it to the playoffs, have a season that is just as good or better than last season, that's enough for me to say Andrew Berry is elite. But I think to call the entirety of the team elite, I want to see at least two, like this season, next season, I would say, with at least a playoff win. And then you can start saying elite, but
yeah, I think Andrew Berry is well on his way to building a consistent winning football team.
Yes.
And in my opinion, I think that will make the Browns elite. I don't know if we will win a division title every year, if we will win a playoff title. I don't know. Like, we don't know that yet. But, you know, I think you want to be a consistent winning football team and get to the playoffs.
I will say that the combination of Andrew Berry, Kevin Stefanski, and Paul D. Podesta, I would call that elite. Yeah. That's what I'm ready to call the three of them together as a team elite. But
yes. Yeah, Jay Scott he piped in again. Well, thank you for the definition, and you're chiming in some good. We're going to have you on the show.
Right?
For Brittany. He said, perhaps you can say Berry is performing at an elite level. That is,
I like that. That's fair. That's very, very fair.
All right. So, Meredith, are you ready to get into Rival Reddit?
Yes. Oh, my God. Let's do it.
Okay. Everyone, buckle up. Rival Reddit time.
I don't have popcorn, but I've got pretzels. Should I start?
Oh, yes.
Or.
Those look good. Do you want some Chub Crunch?
Chub Crunch.
I need that in my life. Need that in my life? Don't have it yet. Okay.
We'll be getting it some soon.
So I'm going to start with the Ravens Reddit board this week. their Reddit board is very boring. Okay, I don't have a lot to say from there. There's a lot of people on Ravens Reddit board complaining that Lamar Jackson gets the most criticism in the league. And I'm over here like, John, have you met Baker Mayfield? So
yeah,
I'm over the Ravens board this week. Nothing's happening. And I thought that was interesting because I did see a report out there that not a single wide receiver practiced yesterday.
I feel like that's why the board is so quiet, is because
I'm like, are they denying reality?
They have nothing to talk about because no one's allowed to film.
Lamar, none of their receivers are playing. Half their offense is sitting out.
No, yeah, everyone's on the sidelines. No one's playing. No one's allowed to film Lamar Jackson. So I don't know if they allow fans at Ravens practice. But if they don't, then like, you can't see anything. They've got nothing to talk about. So that's probably why Ravens Reddit is so quiet.
Okay, so not much doing on the Ravens board. Okay, moving on to the Steelers. Guys, a user in the Steelers board, so this is a Steelers fan, obviously, posted their AFC North prediction and had the Browns winning the AFC North with a predicted 12-5 record, saying, and I quote, "I think things are really set up for this year to finally end their drought and take the division crown. Most talented team in the division."
Wow.
Hold on a minute. I'm going to repeat that. A Steelers fan put on record, the Browns are the most talented team in the division.
Bree,
let's go.
Bree.
Yes.
I'm going to put you on the spot now. You have to be honest.
Okay.
I'm going to like put my truth lasso around you. Were you the one who posted that under
Burner? No. We have a lot of things this week, but I assure you, I do not post much on Reddit. And when I do, it would be a dead giveaway, okay?
that your burner account?
I do not have a Steelers burner account.
Are you Steelers fan 7 on Reddit?
Big Ben Babe. That's me. That would be my burner.
Going in and infiltrating.
So probably my favorite response to this from another Steelers fan was, "I hate it here." Okay, so then, you know, obviously, like, this is a Steelers Reddit board where a Steelers fan is predicting a Browns AFC North title, okay? So imagine that this one's not going to go over very well with the rest of the Reddit board fan base. So, you know, of course, the thread is inundated with the Browns is the Browns, you know, like the same old rhetoric. And there are other Steelers fans defending us, saying that it's not the Browns is the Browns anymore. What? The moral of the story is, we need to take a moment to appreciate Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, much like we just did, and acknowledge that a lot of this goes to them for changing this whole narrative. And listen, Browns fans, I know there's some of you out there that listen that are super negative and you hate on us, but guys, you got to be better than our rivals who are defending the Browns, right? Like,
exactly.
Come on.
I know, Steelers fans are more confident in the Browns than Browns fans are.
Yes, exactly. Like, what is wrong with that statement? What is wrong with that statement? Oh, man. Okay. So the other thing, so Steelers Reddit board, if you guys have a moment, it's very fun, I guess, for a Browns fan to be on it. And
also, if there are any Steelers fans watching tonight, hello.
Hi,
welcome.
Welcome.
All welcome here.
Yes.
We will not be mean to you.
We will not. Unless you tell me that Big Ben is the number one quarterback and you rank over Lamar and Baker. Then we have a problem. So the other thing I wanted to talk about is, so like on the flip side of this whole thing, Bleacher Report posted an article about the resurging Steelers offense based on their preseason game from Saturday night where Big Ben started. He was 8-for-10, 137 yards, and 2 touchdowns. So this performance has gotten the Steelers fans all fired up that they're going to have a surge from their offense, as if it actually matters that Big Ben played on Saturday night against a non-starting Detroit team, which the Detroit, really, we're going to celebrate against the Lions. Detroit
Lions. So do you remember?
Yikes on bikes.
Do you remember? Let's go into the way back machine, all the way back to 2017, when the Browns drafted DeShone Kizer. Oh. And we're very sorry, Brittany. The Browns.
Brittany's not here to defend DeShone.
But here's the thing. DeShone Kizer was the starting quarterback for the Browns in the preseason and the regular season. Like, there was a little bit of a quarterback controversy because who's, I think Brock Osweiler was the other quarterback had that year.
Didn't we release him?
Yes. But people were so high on DeShone Kizer. They were excited for him. The Browns went 4-0 in the preseason in 2017. So I feel a little bad for Steelers fans because the way they're reacting for Big Ben in a preseason game against the Lions is exactly how the Browns fans reacted to the preseason in 2017. And then the Browns went 0-16.
Listen, I'm fine. Like, if they want to hang on to a 39-year-old slowly deteriorating quarterback and they think that that is going to put them in a position to, like, by all means, please, like, please.
I just hope that I have people stand for me as hard as they do for Big Ben when I'm like pushing 40 like that.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, you should be dating down, right? You should be trading in for the younger hot commodity, but fine.
Yeah.
It's fine.
I just
put all your eggs in the Big Ben basket.
I feel a little bad for Steelers fans now because there's not a lot of
do not.
That's true. I feel bad now, but then once it becomes like regular season and they start to get really, really toxic, I'm gonna be like, what the hell was I thinking?
Exactly. Nope, don't feel bad. Okay, so wrapping up Rival Reddit, Bengals. Some interesting things happening on the Bengals board. And this actually ties into what we were talking about earlier with should starters play in a preseason game. So the Bengals announced today that Joe Burrow will play limited snaps in their preseason game against Miami. And so I took to the Reddit boards to see like how fans felt about this, to get a pulse on how they were feeling. And oddly enough, Meredith, they are encouraging this. They want to see Joey B take snaps in a preseason game. And let me just go through a couple of reasons, okay? One of their logic is that he needs to get hit, and getting hit will be good for him.
What?
I mean, I understand that there's probably a little bit mental that he may be scared of getting hit, obviously, based on what happened to him last year. But I'm sorry, but you want your franchise quarterback to get hit?
No, wrap him in bubble wrap. Put him in wrap him in bubble wrap, put him in packing peanuts, and then put that the packing peanuts into a ball pit.
And don't let him leave. Don't even let him go to the grocery store.
No. No, when you have your rookie quarterback get hurt that badly in his first season, and this was a guy that you want on your team long term, gosh, protect him. Protect him as much as you can. It is not worth risking re-injury in the preseason just because he didn't get a full season under his belt last year. It's not worth it.
Yeah. So
I'm not a Bengals fan, but man, I do love Joe Burrow. And I want to see him be successful because I think when the Bengals are better, it only makes the Browns better. Like, it's going to make the Browns look so much better if, you know, they've got really strong teams that they're going up against twice a year. You know, you're not going to necessarily look at the Bengals and say, okay, that's two automatic wins. But oh my
like
God,
how
no.
Jay, you're like the king of comments tonight because he just responded, quarterbacks get hit. A team doesn't have to script that. Like, exactly. Like, you don't need to practice getting hit. Like, it's going to happen. Like, I don't see how this is good for him. I can't. So then the other argument was that if a doctor that gets paid $30 million a year, which is that the going rate for an NFL doctor? Maybe it is. I don't know, but that feels aggressive and I need to go into a different field.
I know.
But they think that if they cleared Joe Burrow to play, then Joe should play.
You know who else was cleared to play? I believe Odell Beckham Jr. has been cleared to play and he is still limited in his snaps during practice because the Browns want him to be at full strength.
Yes.
Week one. Yes. So like, here's the thing. Just because the doctor cleared him to play doesn't mean he should. It's just the doctor saying, okay, we are at this stage in his recovery.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't think the doctor is out there saying, hey, you need to play Joe Burrow. I think the doctor is saying, okay, Joe Burrow is healthy enough that he can handle taking some snaps, playing as a starter. God, man, Bengals fans really hate their own quarterback, don't
they?
Yeah,
and finally, the other support that I saw for this was that Joey B needs the game reps, and they think that he himself was probably lobbying to start. And now, I don't know if this is true. I don't know if there were actually reports of Joe Burrow wanting to play in the preseason game. I think there's probably a lot of players that want
Everyone wants to play. Yeah.
It's ingrained in who they are. That's why they're professional football players. Right? Yeah, they're nobody competitive. They want to play.
Nobody wants to sit on the bench.
But it's also, I don't think that they should listen to him if he's lobbying to play, right? Like, Baker Mayfield wants to play. I think he wants to play, but I think the coaches are going to say, yeah, no, you don't need to play. You don't need to play. Like, we'll see you week one. You'll be fine.
Yeah, I mean, of course Joe Burrow is going to lobby to play. Like, I would be shocked if he didn't. But again, it's almost like your little kids. Like, you know, when little dude says, hey, mom, I want to eat an entire bag of Halloween candy. You have to say, no, little dude, that is not good for you.
Yes.
You can have one or two pieces of Halloween candy right now, but I'm not going to let you eat an entire bag of Reese's Pieces.
Yes. I always say to him when he tries to make decisions that are not smart decisions, I always say, it is my job to keep you safe. If I were Joey B's coach, I would say, Joey B, I know you want to play, but it's my job to keep you safe. You're
Coach Bree.
Coach Bree. Coach Mom.
Yeah, because that's exactly what's happening. I'm sure Odell Beckham Jr. is chomping at the bit to get back out there. But, you know, he's coming off of ACL surgery and he is recovering like insanely quickly. So, you know,
all of this said, you know, again, it's the third preseason game for the Browns coming up. And then you've got 2 weeks to the Chiefs. Do you think Kevin Stefanski will play any starters?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so either. It is interesting because you are seeing starters playing in other teams that have been together.
Because I think the thing is, and I saw it in our comments earlier, that the majority of the offense is the same.
Yeah.
Like the only difference is you're putting Odell Beckham Jr. back in the mix. You've got a few rookies that you have to figure out where they go. You have to figure out who your backups are going to be. I think Kevin Stefanski knows what he has in this team, and he doesn't need to see it in a preseason game. Like, he doesn't need to roll Baker Mayfield out there. He doesn't need to put Jadeveon Clowney and Myles Garrett out there because he knows what he has in them.
Yep.
And he's confident in what he has. And, you know, we don't want Jadeveon Clowney getting hurt. We don't want Myles Garrett getting hurt. Like,
because we know they're gonna be starters and they're gonna play. Like, I'd rather have them be playing in a regular season game that matters. Not now.
Yeah,
I don't need to see him.
Yeah, like
I don't need
right
to see
now,
him together.
Nope. Yeah, right now there's like people on the Browns aren't fighting for starting jobs. Like, the only one that you could really think about was possibly at corner with Greg Newsom and Greedy Williams, but now that Greedy is injured, it's Greg Newsom. Although I heard from one of our beat reporters that they thought that Greg Newsom was playing better than Greedy anyway, that, you know, even if Greedy hadn't gotten hurt, he still would have expected Greg Newsom to win that starting job. So we're not really looking at this roster and saying who's going to be the starters, because that's what you figure out in the preseason. They know who their starters are, you know, and at this point it's allowing the fringe players to get snaps under their belt, to get tape, you know, out there in the world. So if they get cut by the Browns, they can get picked up by another team, and seeing how the rookies play. Like, that's like, this is like, welcome to having a good football team. Like,
yes,
this is what
exactly.
It's like having a good football team.
And I get it. Like, we're all excited to see it all come to fruition. Like, I cannot wait to see the starters take the field, but I'll see it against the Chiefs. Like, I'm fine. I'm fine with that. I have full faith that they are getting their reps in training camp. Like, we didn't even have that last year.
Yeah,
it was a very different offseason. Like, they've actually been together in person this year.
Yes,
so,
and they did have reps against people in other jerseys because they did have those 2 days with the Giants. Yep. So, you know, it, like, I can understand maybe. I would think if the Browns didn't have the joint practices, then maybe I could possibly see, like, one or two series with the starters, but they don't need it.
Yeah.
Like, let's wrap Baker in bubble wrap.
Yes.
Let's wrap Myles Garrett in bubble wrap. Like, let's get all of our players that either elite on the road to being elite, playing at an elite level. Like, let's put them all in the bubble wrap packing peanuts and ball pit to keep them safe.
September 12th.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. Because that is going to be, that is going to be a very tough game. It is going to be fun and exciting.
Yeah, I can't wait for the bad takes that follow us after that game. Win or loss. God. I think there's going to be, I might go in hiding.
We might have to start screenshotting some bad takes after that game.
There'll be plenty of time to have another episode just dedicated to bad takes.
I know. This was actually kind of fun. I just, because here's the thing. I'm so happy that we did this tonight, because seeing these takes have bothered me to my core. And I needed to talk about it. So I'm so happy we did this, because it's just, again, like, if you make a bad take, it's okay. Just
don't own it.
Yeah, don't delete your account or go private.
Well, good advice. Good advice. We will end on that. That wraps up our show for this evening. Thank you guys all for tuning in live with us on this Wednesday evening. If you guys didn't catch the whole show live and you want to listen to us again, we will have the show available for download. You can find it wherever you listen to your podcast platforms: Spotify, Apple iTunes, Stitcher, Odyssey. Go find us. That's What B Said. And we will be with you this football season. And hopefully, maybe you'll see us more than one time a week as the season kicks off. But we're still ironing out all those details. We'd love to do it live. We'd love to have you guys join in on comments. We can have therapy sessions together, win or loss. We can debunk bad takes all day long. We would love to do that with all of you, because, I mean, it's going to be an exciting season, hopefully.
It is.
Probably filled with ups and downs. But together, we will get through it. Guys, thank you again for tuning in. We will see you all next week.